You're listening to Marketplace. I'm Molly Wood, in for Kai Rizdal. Now, it may be a new year, but it is still Friday, and that means the weekly wrap. Neela Richardson, chief economist at Redfin, and Cardiff Garcia with the blog FT Alphaville are here with me today. Hello, and happy new year to both of you.
Hey, Molly.
Hi, Molly.
Happy new year.
So let's start with maybe some hopeful thoughts for the new year, because 2015, in terms of the market and investing, was considered the worst year since 2008. 70% of investors lost money. Neela, is this going to be the new normal?
I don't think so, Molly. I think innovation comes in cycles, and that's how people make money. When companies innovate, either by bringing technology to the masses or to pockets or segments of the market. We didn't see much of that in 2015. The investors you referenced, though, are not necessarily retail investors. There weren't a lot of those either in 2015. It was mostly professional investors, people who were trying to fish out those pockets of the economy where money could still be made.
Cardiff, what do you think? Is this sort of a temporary lull, or is it going to continue to be difficult?
No, I agree. I think it's temporary. And I think to some extent this was expected. So keep in mind that in the years prior to 2015, monetary policy was loosened precisely to pull forward in time better gains in the stock market and in other asset markets in the hopes that eventually the real economy would be spurred along to catch up. Well, look what happened in 2015. Even though the stock market had a bad year, the economy hummed along pretty well. Jobs growth was pretty strong. And so I think what you're seeing here is the two things converging. But so long as the economy is growing, and as Neela said, if we get a little bit of an innovative burst, then I think the stock market will continue climbing again.
Well, and less volatility is what we saw toward the end of the year. That seems like a plus too, right?
You know, volatility in and of itself is not so bad. That's how traders make money. I think what we've had for so long was this false floor caused by a Fed subsidy in the market with near zero interest rates. Now that's gone. And whatever happens in 2016, we know at least that it should be market-based and not based on monetary policy. And I guess that in itself is kind of an innovation right now.
Yeah, I would add that we should also remember that the rest of the world didn't have such a great year, and American companies aren't totally immune from slowdowns elsewhere, notably in places like China, stagnation in Europe, that kind of thing. So, I mean, these things come in cycles, but so long as the U.S. economy keeps going and if the rest of the world starts to recover, then I think, yeah, then you know, stocks will be fine over time.
So we saw some of the great performers last year were Netflix and Amazon, both of which almost doubled. Facebook did well. Tech stocks seem to be picking up. Does that bode well for something like an Uber IPO in 2016, Neela?
Well, there's two ways that companies are making money right now. One, they're growing bigger like Amazon, or two, they're innovating like Netflix. Uber's kind of in the middle. It's trying to grow bigger, but it's being hemmed in by regulation, sometimes fierce and aggressive regulation at the city level. And it's trying to innovate, but there is, again, this question about what is an Uber worker? Are they a self-employed individual contractor? Some regulators are starting to say yes, and some are starting to say no. And so Uber is fighting on two fronts. They're fighting metro level regulation, and they're also trying to figure out their business plan. Exactly who are these drivers and what are their relationship to the company?
Well, yeah. And so if this on-demand economy is the big story, it's certainly in tech, if you will, in 2016, Cardiff, how important is that regulation concern and, frankly, the sustainability of any business model that depends on demand?
Well, it is important, and it's sort of sensible that we're having a conversation now about how to think about people who work for these companies, how to make sure that we're taxing these companies in the right way. But let's keep in mind also that these are early years yet. I mean, people like these products. They want to keep using them. And I think over time, the experience of using them is also going to become more and more customized because they'll learn more about what it is that we want. And so my sense of it is that the regulatory bit absolutely matters, but in the longer run, I think it's all just going to be swamped by the fact that consumers want these products. So I think these companies in aggregate will be just fine. I mean, any one individual company can have a stumble, but you know, the industry itself, I think, will continue to grow.
I have to say, I saw this week that Instacart was stumbling maybe a little bit, slowing down some hiring and raising prices, and I don't want to see that. I will ride Instacart to the end.
Right. Well, there are some companies that will stumble. I couldn't agree more about this being the early years of what we are calling the gig economy. I would like to note that just because you slap an app on it and put a sticker in the back of the window doesn't necessarily mean you've changed anything fundamentally about the labor market or the people who were in this economy all along. What has done is that the workers that used to be individual contractors and giving people rides and being part of this delivery service now are being organized into a company. And that means that some of the profits they made doing small-time gigs is now being taken by these bigger companies, these tech companies. And so there's still a lot of fallout and shakeout for how this will develop over time.
That's Nela Richardson from Redfin and Cardiff Garcia with the blog FT Alphaville. Thanks, guys, and Happy New Year.
Thanks, Molly.
Thank you, Molly. Happy New Year.